You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Do you believe that God is good? Amen. I tell you what, I come to church every weekend wanting to lift up the name of Jesus. Wanting to tell our community that Jesus is good, amen? That God is good, that God is alive, that our Savior is living, that He's willing and able to move in our lives, amen? I come here to lift Him up, to praise His name, bring glory to God. But I also come here to receive something from God too. And I know you're like, you know, well, you're the pastor, you got to preach, you got to give. But I believe with all my heart that as we give, we receive. I talk with a friend of mine all the time about how we're sticky vessels or sticky pipes. God is flowing through us and He's ministering to us. Amen. What He's doing through us, He's doing to us. Praise God. And I love that I can serve God and receive from Him at the same time. And I really pray and hope that every one of you in this room, that you came here to serve God, yes. That you came here to lift God up, yes. But that you also expect that when you get together with the people of God in the house of God and stand in the presence of God, that He's going to minister to you. That the drama that can try and take our attention in our lives, that we can tell it to go away. Scripture talks about being stuck in the miry clay. Well, I believe that when we worship Him, when we lift Him up, that He lifts us up out of that miry clay. And so, church, if you came here today wanting God to minister to you, wanting God to speak to you, wanting God to encourage you, inspire you, remind you how good He is if you forgot, then I want you to reach out your hands just in faith to saying, God, I want to receive from You today. I'm going to pray for every person with outstretched hands. And I'm going to pray that today, that as we worship Him, that as we sit in His presence, that He will minister to you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for every outstretched hand in this place, every heart that says, God, I want to receive all and everything that You want to do in me today. So God, I thank You for them. God, I thank You for the privilege to stand on Your stage in Your house to preach to Your people. And I ask that You help my words be true, be right, be powerful. Help them to change people's lives, to encourage people's hearts. To God, help people to focus not on the clay, not on the drama, but on the King of Kings. So that God, as we walk out of this place, we're not only back to good, but we're better than we walked in. And God, we're ready to go and do what You've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you receive that, give the Lord one more shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so good to be in church, isn't it? Amen. Being in church every week will change your life, won't it, Andy? Amen. It has, hasn't it, Andy? Praise God. Do you believe God is good? Awesome. Well, high five your neighbor as hard as you can. The harder the high five, the better the love. And tell them that it's going to be a good day in church. Give me a wave if your hand hurts right now. My cousin Emily, if you've been wondering who that random woman is that's been hanging out at our house, it's my cousin. It's all good. Don't freak out. And keeping things above board here at Eternity Church. But Emily, she high-fives like a 800-pound man. And it hurts. Every time she walks up to me, she's like, welcome home. I'm like, no. Scare the daylights out of you. She tries to high-five you. Run away. It means she hates you. And so, anyway, I'm so glad that you're here today, and I want to say welcome to all of our new guests. If it's your first time here, or maybe you've come a couple of times, welcome back. We've got a special gift for you after the service, and after the service, you'll go out the double doors. We've got a team of people waiting to give you a gift. You'll hear more about that at the end of the service, and but we're just super glad that you're here, so welcome to church. Give all the new people a welcome to church. Give them a welcome. I also love this weekend because today is Mother's Day. If you're a mum here, we just want to tell you how much we stink and love you, how grateful we are for you, how terrible our lives would be without you. And so if you could all stand up, all the mamas in here, stand up all across this place, everywhere. If you're watching online, stand up there as well. Give the mums a great big we love you. Stop clapping each other and just receive the clap for yourselves, ladies. Anytime you get women to clap, they'll clap for everyone else as well. It's like, just receive the love today, all right? That's what you guys are used to, right? Just all day, every day, receiving the love, but just giving it out to everyone else. And we're so excited to celebrate all the mums here. Scripture says to celebrate with those who celebrate. And that means that even though it's a tough day for some of us, that we're still going to celebrate you, and we're still going to celebrate the gift in your life and the gift of those children in your life. And so today we celebrate all the mums here. We love you. You're absolutely incredible. Thank you for coming to Eternity Church on your day. But we also know that families don't all look the same, do they? Right? Families are different. In fact, as I look around this room, I see families made up all different ways. All of our lives are unique. You're all individuals. I'm not. Anyone ever seen Life of Brian? Anyone ever seen that? Yeah? Come on, you can put your hand up. Just admit it. I know you're like, I'm in church. I'm not admitting I've seen that, right? Like, yeah, I know you've all seen it, right? In Life of Brian, every time someone says the word individual, I think of the movie Life of Brian, right? Because in Life of Brian, there's a whole crowd of people, and he yells out to everybody, you're all individuals. And one guy stands up and goes, I'm not. If you don't get it, think about it, you'll figure it out. Anyway, but it is true that we all have a different story, isn't it? We all got here a different way, and some families are, you know, just like God designed it in the beginning. Mum, dad, and kids, and that's wonderful, and we celebrate you. That's not the family that I grew up in, but we're grateful for those families, and God bless you. But some families are stepmom and stepdad and kids and stepkids, and our families have been different all the way back since family begun, right? Like, the very first family, one of the brothers killed the other brother. Like, what? Like, what the heck? We're supposed to look up to that, you know? Like, and then Jesus was a stepkid. You know that, right? We talk about the fact that Joseph was a stepdad. Well, Jesus was a stepson. I don't know if he was redheaded, but he was a stepson, right? And there are single dads as well, right? We got single dads in here. We got single moms in here, and there are other people in here who wanted kids but never had that opportunity, for some people for very heartbreaking reasons. And there are other people in here who are still asking God and still praying for children. And we are asking God and praying with you. If you are still asking, we're still believing with you. We will stand with you and believe with you as long as it takes. Amen. But there are some women who mourn Mother's Day, and for whatever reason, maybe it's because you were never able to be a mum and you wanted to, or maybe someone passed away and there's been loss in your life, or there's been a miscarriage, or whatever other hurtful things have happened in your life. And Scripture says to mourn with those who mourn, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to mourn with those who mourn. And so even while we rejoice with those who are rejoicing, at the same time, we can tell you that we just mourn with you if this is a tough day for you. And I want to encourage you that today, that this will bless you no matter what, okay? And being in the house of God with the people of God will bless you. And while we do believe in honoring motherhood here at Eternity Church, and we do absolutely love women, women in leadership, we honor women, we believe that women and men were created equal by God, amen. And so on this particularly feminine day, Mother's Day, we want to honor not just mums, but every single woman in this place, whether a mum by birth, by marriage, or a spiritual mum to other people. We honor you. So give them a great clap. Come on, keep clapping. We love you. We appreciate you. I could tell you right now that without women in my life would be dreadful. Absolutely bloody awful. And so I am grateful. And actually, we've got something special for every single woman here, every lady, whether you're older, never say old, older, younger. If you are a female and you are in this place, that was a very scientific term, wasn't it? If you're a lady and you're in this place, we have cupcakes for you from the very best cupcakery in the universe. Molly's Cupcakes from downtown Des Moines. We ordered 58 dozen cupcakes. It's like 680 cupcakes or something. And so we've got ushers after the service waiting to give those to you on the way out the door. We've got cupcakes for all the women. We got cupcakes for you, not for you. But we got cupcakes for you and you and you. We got cupcakes for all of you all, okay? And so, oh, if you're a woman, all right? And men, you can only get one if your wife hates cupcakes, all right? And so... But seriously, we got one for everyone. Take it. Even if you hate cupcakes, take it. But seriously, like, honestly, if you hate cupcakes, what the heck is wrong with you? Now, let's just put that out there. Like, if you don't like cupcakes, I don't trust you, right? Just saying that. But if you don't like them, take it anyway. Give it to someone. They'll probably think you poisoned it or something, but give it to them anyway, and that'll be good. So shall we get cracking on today's sermon? Yeah? Awesome. We started a new sermon series last week called How to Live in Blessing, and I want to encourage you all to get that online at myeternity.com/sermons. Seriously, if you did not watch or listen to that sermon, go get that message. It's the first one of the series, How to Live in Blessing. I know it'll bless your life. Yeah, we gave the first key to living in blessing. The first key that we talked about last week to living in blessing was to live generous, okay? To be generous. Did you receive that last week? Was that good? If you didn't receive it, if you didn't like it, go listen to it again. You're wrong. It's right. Receive it, all right? And go get that. That'll be good for you. This week, the title of my message is Living in Faith, okay? And so we're going to roll into our key passage from the book of Mark, heading to Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV, and then after that, I'm going to read a portion of it again from the message. And so again, that's Mark chapter 12, verse 41. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being put and watched the crowd putting their money in the offering. Sounds like a pastor of a church plant, doesn't he? Right? Are they giving yet? Will we survive? Can we come back next week? Right? Jesus is sitting down there watching everyone put their money into the temporary into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a couple of cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you that this poor widow put more into the treasury than all of the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. Another translation, Jesus said, the truth is that this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they will never miss, but she gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. Now that is an incredible story. Before we get to the nuts and bolts of this sermon, I want to make one thing very clear to you, that in this passage, Jesus is not mocking wealth or mocking those who gave large amounts, okay? He did not say that they did anything wrong. He just pointed to the fact about how impressed he was by the widow and her faith, all right? So you aren't going to get a rich people bashing sermon out of me. That's not the heart of this, okay? See, in fact, on a world standard, every single one of you, the poorest person in this room on a world standard is a rich person, okay? And so you're not going to get a rich people bashing sermon out of me. That's not the heart of this encounter with Jesus. The heart of this passage, the heart of this Jesus encounter is that faith impresses God. That's right. I'm going to say it again because everyone else didn't get it, mate. Faith impresses God, all right? God is looking for faith. He's watching people trying to find opportunities for faith. I love that Jesus is sitting there watching people give their offering. Verse 41, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being put and watched the crowd putting their money in. I love that. If Jesus was one of the ushers here at our church, he wouldn't give you the bucket and let you pass it down the aisle. He'd be like this. He'd carry it down the aisle. Bro. And then I'm going to get in there. Hey, make some space. Stand up. I want to walk through here, right? He's watching everybody put their offerings in the bucket. I think that's hilarious. People are just like, bro, this is private. What are you doing? Look somewhere else, mate, right? Like, I remember when I was young. I'm still young. Thank you for everyone who said that. No one for some reason. I don't even know why. I'm 36, all right? Flip. Okay. When I was younger, and I remember putting my money in the offerings. My offerings were a lot smaller back then than they are now. And in Australia, we have $1 and $2 coins, okay? And they're thick, they're fat, and they're heavy, all right? And over here, your $1 are notes, or bills, sorry. And so, you know, that's all good. You can put them in. No one knows you gave, like, $1, right? In Australia, you want to give a dollar, it's going to go thunk in the bottom of the offering bucket, right? And so I remember I'd start putting my offerings, my $1 and $2 coins, into envelopes wrapped in paper. And so it looks thick, looks like I gave lots of money. And then I'd put it in. And if they didn't have envelopes, I didn't want my $1 and $2 coins to go ta-ting, ta-ting. And everyone would be like, that dude's only giving dollar coins. Like, seriously, bro, you can do better. That is not 10%. We know it's not. This is Australia. This is not some third world country. We know you earned more than that, all right? Like, and so I'm like trying to hide it. And if they didn't have any coins, if they didn't have any envelopes, I'd put them on my hand. I'd lower them into the bucket all the way down, and I'd just let them fall out of my hand just at the very end there. And people would be like, is he stealing from the offering? What is he doing, right? And I'm like, no, I'm giving, right? And what's funny is I was trying to hide what I was giving. But all that time, no matter how I tried to hide what I was giving, Jesus was still watching me. And nothing I could do could hide the fact that he could see through it like Superman, right? See through that envelope. He could see through that, but he knew what I was putting in it. But more importantly than the fact that he knew is that he wasn't looking at the size of my offering. He was looking for faith in the offering. Come on. And so I was so consumed with this idea that is it big enough? Which, by the way, I can tell you right now, for what I was earning then, it was not big enough. And it did not take any faith for me to throw a couple of bucks in there. And at that point in my life even. But Jesus wasn't looking at the size of it, but the amount of faith it took to put that offering in that bucket. Am I obeying God in my tithing? Am I stepping out in faith? Am I taking steps of faith in my life? That's what he cares about. Amen. Jesus loves faith. Boom. Only two times in Scripture, only two times does Scripture say that Jesus was amazed. One time it says that he was amazed at their lack of faith. One time it says that he was amazed at someone's great faith. In the lack of faith, actually, it says he was amazed at their lack of faith. A whole entire community's lack of faith amazed him. And then someone else's faith, great faith, amazed him. I thank God that when he looks at Des Moines, when he looks at Central Iowa, when he looks at Adele, when he looks at any place where our church is, that because of you, he's not going to say their lack of faith amazed me. He's going to look at our communities and say, I am amazed by their great faith, and our whole community will be blessed because of it. Amen. It's the same at offering time. Jesus is amazed by faith. Jesus always responds to our faith. But it's also the same in every other area of your life. Do you have a need in your life? Take a step of faith. Is there something you wish was different in your life? Take a step of faith. Maybe the step of faith for you is, you know what, God is going to heal me of this, and you say that to someone. Or God is going to fix this situation, and you speak that out to somebody. You put words to what you feel in your heart, and that is a step of faith. Why is that a step of faith? Because when you said it, the person you said it to thinks you're an idiot. It's true, isn't it? Like sometimes when you say things, you speak out in faith. You tell someone what you believe with all your heart God is going to do. The people you're speaking to, they're like, you're an idiot. That's not going to happen, right? And the reason it takes faith is because once you say it, if God doesn't do it, now you also look like an idiot, right? Right? Honestly, it takes faith to make a declaration that God has spoken to me. God's going to heal me. God's going to fix this. God's going to restore my marriage. God's going to bring my wife back. God's going to bring my husband back. God's going to fix this. Amen. That takes faith, because if it doesn't happen, you look dumb. So we speak it out in faith. Hey, if you need something to change in your life, speak something out in faith. Take a step of faith. Do what it takes to see God be amazed by what you're doing. Amen. Start that business. Ask that person to marry you. Take a step of faith. Amaze Jesus. Praise God. I'm preaching better than most of you are. Amening. Amen. All right. Let's talk about a mama with faith for a minute. You want to talk about that? All the others gave what they will never miss. But she gave extravagantly. What she could not afford, she gave her all. It's funny when most people read this story in the Gospel of Mark and in the Gospel of Luke, they always talk about an old lady who had no money but gave all that she had. I didn't grow up picturing an old woman. I always thought of her as a woman about 30, not much younger than myself, a mama with kids who lost her husband. And the reason I always thought about her like that is because there was another widow in 1 Kings 17 who lost her husband too. She has a little boy at home, and when the man of God came to her house, she ended up giving all that she had to him to eat. And then the story ends with her receiving more than she gave. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, and literally pouring into her lap. You see, in the days that Jesus walked the earth and before, women and children alone without a man in their lives were unable to own property or businesses. They had no security, no one in their lives to protect them. They had nothing. And again, like I said last week, I thank God that it's not like that today. Amen. I thank God that there are women in our church that own houses, that own businesses, that have influence and leadership in our community. I thank God that there are women in our church that can preach, that teach, that speak, and lead on our stage and in our church. I thank God for that. Do you thank God for that? Yeah? But as we read these stories, it's important to understand it was not like it is now. So as we read the story of a poor lady with only 2 cents, it's actually more likely than not that she was a young woman with a couple of kids at home. Because if she was an older woman, she would have had sons or sons-in-law providing for her. But she's a woman with no one and nothing giving her provision in her life. It's more likely than not that she was a young lady my age or younger. And so I picture her story like this. One day, she says goodbye to her husband in the morning, and daddy goes to work. He works for a local farmer. He goes to work every day. He works out in the field. He's cutting the wheat, and he's loading that up onto a cart being pulled by an ox. First tractor that we ever had, the oxen. Then after that, he goes to milk the cows. He works hard Sunday through Friday. He takes Saturday, the Sabbath, off to be with his wife, the woman in the story, and to play with his kids. And they went to the synagogue together every single week to grow closer to God, to learn more about God. But one Thursday afternoon, the family was waiting by the door for daddy to come home. Dad's always home at 6. He's never late. He always comes in, takes his shoes off at the door. About 6 o'clock comes around, he's not there. 6:30 comes around, he's not there. 7 o'clock, mummy, where's daddy? Daddy always comes home by 7 o'clock. He's never, ever been after 7 o'clock. It's always 6 o'clock, but it's never been after 7 o'clock. Where's dad? 8 o'clock comes around, dad's not home. 9 o'clock comes around and a friend knocks on the door. I'm so sorry, Bethany. There was an accident on the farm today. David didn't make it. This is how I picture the woman that Jesus is watching give everything she has. This mama, this single mom, this woman who lost everything. Everything is literally giving everything she has because she doesn't own anything else. She's got 2 cents. She's lost all of her protection and she's trusting God to protect her. This mummy who had no man in her life was trusting God to be the father that her children needed. This lonely widow was trusting God to be her ever-present helper and friend. That's who we're hearing about right now. This woman who didn't know how or even if they were going to eat next week did the same thing that the widow in 1 Kings 17 did. She gave it all away. But when she gave, the creator of the universe took notice. Amen. The Father, the Comforter, the Son, they saw her giving. They saw her faith in God. They saw her giving out of lack, out of struggle. They saw a young woman giving so much that she literally had to have faith if she was going to eat next week. This is an incredible story. Yeah. So why did she give? Why would you give your last bit away? Why did the widow in 1 Kings give the last bit of bread and oil away? Why did this woman give? Because she knew that when God sees her, that she is worth far more than the sparrow in the field. And the sparrow always had enough to eat. And she gave because she knew that God values her more than the lilies in the field, and they are dressed better than the finest kings of Solomon's age. So surely her Father in heaven will make sure that she's going to be okay. She gave because she wanted to tell God that I trust you. I trust you with all that I have. I trust you to be more than I lost in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe she was there when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe she heard him say, give, just a few chapters before. Maybe she heard him say, give. And it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over and pouring into your lap. And maybe as she heard him speaking about that, maybe she was reminded of the woman in 1 Kings 17 where a widow, a single mama just like her, gave all that she had and God gave her oil and food that didn't run out, oil that literally ran over and poured into her lap. And maybe she remembered the story of Ruth, another widow who took a step of faith and gave up everything that she ever had to go and follow the call of God, and God gave back to her more than she had, pressed down, shaken together, running over and pouring into her lap. And so she knew that I am too broke to do nothing. I'm too broke to sit back and have no faith because I need God in my life. And she knew that if she didn't give, they wouldn't eat next week. And so in spite of her grief, in spite of her lack, in spite of her fear for her children's future, she gave all she had. She gave out of her lack. And God noticed. And God noticed. God always notices generosity. And God always responds to faith. Amen. Thank God for the other givers. Jesus isn't mocking them. Thank God for them. But if you want to get God's attention, have faith. If you want to get God's attention, have faith. Amen. Be like David and say, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I will not give something that I won't even miss. God, I've got faith. I believe that you will respond to faith. God, I want you to notice my generosity. Amen. And then you'll always have enough. God promises to supply your needs. And I know with all my heart that if you want to live in blessing, it's going to take faith. Now, you don't have to have faith. You can live a boring, mediocre life if you want to. But if you want to live in blessing, it will take faith. Amen? I'm not sure some of you go, I'm going to rewind a bit. If you don't want to live a mediocre life, and if you don't want to live a boring life, it's going to take faith. Amen? Good. I don't want to have to rewind again. That's embarrassing. Get God's attention with your generosity, yeah? Don't be like the other givers. Don't be like everybody else. Be the giver that stands out. Not because you're poor, not because you're rich, not because you gave little, not because you gave a lot, not because you're older. I nearly said older. Not because you're young. Stand out because you've got a faith that amazes God in every area of your life, not just your finances. In all your areas of your life, at home, at work, in everything that you do, have a faith that amazes God. Now, I feel like I know this widow's story. I feel like I know this single parent's story well. And I don't know if I've ever told you the story about how my mum and dad met, but I want to tell you about it today. When I was a little fella, yeah, I was there when my parents met. Whoa. Don't think about it too much. When I was a little fella, maybe 9 or so, we lived a few years in a trailer park in North Queensland. You know, the funniest bit about that story is I kind of forgot that I grew up in a trailer park. Because in Australia, we call it a caravan park. And so when we watch movies here, they call it a trailer park. And they're like, every lot of poor people live in a trailer park. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I never put 2 and 2 together. Oh, that was me. Until I was talking to Reggie Dabbs and he was talking to my cousin Paul and they're like, he grew up in a trailer park. And I'm like, no, I did not grow up in a car. Oh. I grew up in a trailer park. How about that? Anyway, one day I was down at the candy shop in the trailer park and I was trying to sell my bike helmet to strangers so I could buy some candy. Yep. I've always found a way to get some money for what I need, right? I've always had a bit of a business mind. In fact, I paid for the first 2 years of my college education by buying cars on the side of the road and selling them for 10 or 20 times more than I bought them for, all right? No warranty. Anyway, I tried to sell my helmet to this one particular lovely lady named Wendy. Wendy didn't want to buy my helmet, but she did want to make sure this weird little kid got back to his dad, all right? And so she took me back to our trailer, and she tells my dad how cute she thought I was, because I was cute, just saying. I was like picture Charlie or Judah, but with, like, really long blonde ringlets, right? That was me, right? I don't know what happened, but I got ugly one day. but I was cute back then. And anyway, Wendy and my dad, they got to talking, and my dad found out that Wendy, who I now call Mom, was selling a fridge. Now, we didn't need a fridge, but Dad thought she was hot. Nothing else mattered after that, right? Dad's like, I want to bless this single mum in the caravan park, but, you know, she's probably not going to take money. That'd be weird, so I'll buy a fridge. And so we had 2 fridges in our trailer. Yep. We're the richest kids in the trailer park. You come to our house, you know, now it's like, oh, have you got 2 TVs? Well, back then, back in the 60s, when I was growing up. Trying to win some credit with wisdom, but all right, in the 80s, it was all about how many fridges you had, all right? You're right, you had 1 fridge with the milk and the food, and you had another fridge with the cordial in it. The cordial, which is the Kool-Aid. But we get it pre-mixed in Australia. It comes in a liquid, right? Because we are way too lazy to mix it. And so it comes in there. And so we had a cordial fridge and a food fridge. We were so rich. All the kids in the trailer park wanted to come and hang out at our house. And so Dad buys this second fridge. And kind of like Boaz giving Ruth wheat last week, Wendy became my dad's wife as well. And my mum. See, because we learned last week, right? That if you buy dinner when you're out on a date, she'll marry you, right? And it's the same deal. This week, I want you to know that if she's selling something, Mary Kay, Living Essential Oils, Annuities, Life Insurance. You need to buy that and she will marry you. It's true, just ask my dad. But seriously though, my dad was a single dad. Like the widow in this story was a single mom, but he was always generous. I seen my dad give away cars when we couldn't afford our own cars. He gave away money. He paid people's rent in the trailer park and in houses that were better than the trailer park that we lived in. But even when we were broke living in a trailer park, my dad began to tithe. The more money he made in later in life, the more generous he got. But it all started way back when he couldn't afford it. It all started way back after a devastating divorce, financial ruin where they owned an island and then had nothing in bankruptcy or nothing at all. He had nothing. So broke, we lived in a trailer park for years. And at that moment, he chose to be generous. He chose to have faith. And our family is blessed because of it. My life is blessed because of his generosity. I got a mom because of his generosity. And our family really did go to live in great blessing. My dad owns a couple of hundred acres or something now, and he's building a big house, and he's living a blessed life, and that's great. But I also know that the widow in this story in Mark chapter 12, I know that she went to live in blessing too, because she had faith and generosity that got God's attention. And I know, just like the widow in 1 Kings lived in blessing with oil that ran over, this woman went to live in blessing that ran over, pressed down, shaken together, pouring into her lap as well. Why? Because Jesus, the same Jesus who 6 chapters earlier said, "Give and it will be given unto you," pressed down, shaken together, running over, pouring into your lap. The same Jesus that said that saw her give everything that she had. So her kids got looked after. Her loneliness was taken care of. Her house was the safest house in the trailer park, amen? And God prepared a table before her, right in the middle of that storm. Because she didn't say, "When my life is better, I'll give. When I have a man in my life, I'll give." You don't need a man in your life, women. Men don't complete you. He completes you. He completes you. Now, a good man can enrich your life. He can enrich it, but he won't complete it. Same for you men. A woman won't complete you. He does. But a good woman will enrich your life. Amen. She didn't say, "When a good man comes into my life, I'll be generous." She didn't say, "When I have enough, I'll be generous." No, because we all know that that person will never give. That person will never have enough. But everyone who says, "Lord, I put my trust in you. Lord, I believe what you promised me will come true. I know that I will live in increase. I will live in blessing. And I know I will always have enough. God, if this costs me, I know that you will bless me more than it costs me." Amen. You know why, church? Because listen up, I don't want to be generous because I can afford it. No way. In fact, that's just like duty then. I don't want to be generous because I can afford it. I want to be generous because it's who I am. I want to be generous with the wait staff at the restaurant, not because this week I have spare money, but because that's what I do. Because when I'm in someone's presence, I'm going to bless that person, all right? Because when you get around me, you're going to be blessed. That's who I am. It's who he's made me. It's who he is. And I'm becoming more like him, amen? So last week, we talked about generosity being the first key to living in blessing. This week, it's a combination. It's a twofer. Buy one, get one free. This week, it's generosity and faith will bring a blessing into your life. I want to tell you, Scripture says, this is a whack in the mouth. This one's rough. Are you ready for it? Scripture actually says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Church, would you stand up with me right now? I think most of you have figured out that we're not only talking about finances here today. We are talking about finances, but we're not only talking about finances. Have faith. Have faith. Please God. Amaze God with your faith. Faith will bring you a blessing. In fact, the first blessing that faith will bring you is the faith that declares, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Scripture says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you will be saved. For some of you, the very first step of faith that you need to take today is to become a Christian, is to believe in Jesus, is to give Him your life. I guarantee that that step of faith will command a blessing in your life. That step of faith will force the situations and the circumstances of your life to begin to line up with Scripture. And Scripture says that all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. So if you take this first step of faith, give your life to Jesus Christ, it will bless you. It will bless you. God wants to come and take away your shame and pain, hurt, fear, sin. He wants to give you a blessed life. Scripture says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It then goes on to say, and then He said, let us make mankind in our image. And that's when He made you. That's when you got to understand, He didn't just make Adam and Eve. At that moment, He thought of you. Your blueprint came into His mind, the plans He has for your life and how they can interact with other people's lives in a way that blesses them and in a way that blesses you. He thought of all that at that moment. And as you give your life to Him today, you're choosing to allow Him to do all of that in your life, to make you what He created you to be, to take away your shame and sin and hurt. I'm not asking you to be perfect. No one can. I'm not. Sometimes I accidentally cuss in sermons. On stage, not just rehearsing. Like up on the stage. Now us Australians, we don't think it's cussing, but you all do think it is. America made a list of words that's wrong. Didn't tell the rest of the world. But anyway. The point is that I can't even seem to conform to people's ideas of what it means to be a Christian. And so I'm not going to try and get you to either. All I want you to do is give your life to Jesus. And if there's something in your life that He wants to change, if there's something in your life that's destructive, hurtful to others, offensive to God, when the time is right and when your heart is ready, He will speak to you about that. And then He'll give you the power and the strength to win that battle. But right now, all I want to do is invite you to give your life to Jesus. So let's do what Scripture says. I want everybody in this room to repeat after me this prayer. This is a prayer we're praying to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, okay? So I want every single person in this room to pray this prayer after me. From the front to the back, right to left, every person. But especially those who don't know Jesus or those who have walked away and want to come back today. Repeat this prayer after me. Give your life to Jesus Christ. In a bold voice, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross for my sin, rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord, with you as my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it, special, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Now, I know that heaps of people prayed that prayer today for the first time or for the first time in a long time. And so there's three things I want you to do if you're one of those people. Number one, tell somebody what you did. Throw it up on Instagram, throw it up on Facebook, throw it up on Twitter. If that's still a thing, then do that. But tell somebody what you did. Say, I gave my life to Jesus. Watch me live a blessed life now, y'all. Right? Do that. Or tell your dad, tell your mom, tell somebody what you did today. Number two, I want you to tell us. And do that by texting the word saved, S-A-V-E-D, to the number 25827. It's on the screen up there. You'll see it right there. Text the word saved to that number. If you do that this week in the mail, you will receive a really sweet gift, right? We're obsessed with generosity. We love giving stuff away here at Eternity Church. In fact, we have a lot of faith. We spend a lot of money giving a lot of stuff away, trusting that God will look after us, right? We love being generous. So let us take this opportunity to give something to you, okay? So text that number, and then this week in the mail, you'll receive a sweet gift. One of the things is a sweet Bible just for you, but you'll get a few other things in there as well, gift cards, all sorts of awesome stuff. So text that number, and it'll bless your life. The last thing I want you to do is I want you to tell me, all right? So if everybody in the room could close their eyes, front, back, right, left, everyone in the middle, every eye is closed. Nobody is looking around. Not even the band is looking around. It's just me. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. I want you to take a step of faith and lift up your hand. This is the first step of faith you've had to do in front of anyone. I want you to take this step of faith because I want to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out, tell everyone who you are, what you're wearing, where you're standing. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to stay where I am and pray for you from where I am to where you are. So if you want me to pray for you, on the count of three, lift up your hand. Everyone who prayed that prayer, there's heaps of you. One, two, three, lift it up now. Boom, I see that hand. One, two, three, keep going. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Anybody else? 11, 12. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? You can put your hands down. Now, if you're in here and you didn't put your hand up, if you did not put your hand up, and you're not one of the 12 people I already counted, take that step of faith. Come on, tell me who you are. Lift it up right now if you didn't already, but you wish you did. Lift up your hand. Show me who you are. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to pray for you. I saw that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? All right, Heavenly Father. Actually, before I pray, could everyone reach out their hands in faith right now? Every single person in the room. Some of us are praying for people. Some of us are receiving prayer. That's fine. Just reach out your hands. The reason we do this in church, we reach out our hands in faith. Just, it's a symbolic thing, reaching out to God, yeah? And in worship, it's the same deal. We're reaching out to God. It's an action of surrender, saying, God, I need you. Nothing else can fix this. I need you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you still trust Eternity Church to welcome people into your family. Lord God, you've been so good to us. God, we just ask you to bless these 12 people right now. God, bless them where they stand. Take their shame, God, whether it be because of things that they did wrong or things others did to them or around them. God, for whatever reason that they might carry shame or fear or hurt, I ask you to break it off their lives in the incredibly powerful name of Jesus. And God, replace all of that with hope, with joy, with peace, with an understanding that now, with you as their Lord and Savior, they will live a better life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Well, God is good. If you prayed that prayer, text that number, okay? Service is going to close in 6 minutes. Please, if you don't have to get a kid or if you don't have to serve in one of the stations around the foyer, please stay in here so that we can maintain an atmosphere of faith and an atmosphere of passion as we pray for people, because there are people in this room who need prayer. So if you need prayer, come down the front to my left. Come down the front. We want to pray for you, all right? God is willing and able to do a miracle in your life. If there's something in your life, anything in your life that you wish was different, that's what you come down and ask for prayer for. Because God cares about it and He loves you. So would you please come down and give our team the privilege, the opportunity to pray for you today down the front. So come on down right now as the band begins to play. God bless you. Come on, let's worship the Lord.